If you're feeling exhausted, puffy, anxious, foggy, gaining weight, or just not like yourself, you're not imagining it. Women in their 30s, 40s, and 50s are experiencing massive hormonal shifts, and no one is explaining what's actually happening. I'm Katie Whalen, co-founder of Joy. I built Joy because I lived this. The fatigue, the mood swings, the weight changes, the confusion. Your symptoms are biological, not personal. And AI-generated lab reports won't fix them. Every Joy lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who specializes in women's hormones and connects every biomarker to how you feel. Energy, metabolism, mood, sleep, skin, weight, everything. Then, we personalize real solutions. Hormone therapy, peptide therapy, supplements, and lifestyle protocols. Get started at joyandblogues.com today. This month, new customers get 50% off labs, and you can add our estrogen face cream for just $1 with clinician approval. Use promo code podcast at joyandblokes.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Movies with My Mother. I am Lexi.
And I'm Mom Lori.
And we're having a hell of a time this morning.
We are. Is it Monday already?
And we watched Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
We did.
From 1971, was rated G. It was 100 minutes long, about an hour 40.
Went fast.
No. Yeah, an hour 40. Directed by Mel Stewart.
Yep.
It got 90% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow.
67% on Metascore.
Well, that's Metascore.
Low. And 7.8 out of 10 on IMDb.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Not a bad number, but I would think it would be better.
Well, the IMDb numbers are always low, I think.
Yes, yes,
and
they are.
Score trends low, too.
Right.
I don't understand, but Rotten Tomatoes seems good. I'm happy with that number.
Yeah, me too.
90%? That's great.
And it's one of my favorite movies, so.
For a movie that is basically timeless.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
It had a budget of about $3 million.
I saw that.
And I saw two worldwide grosses. IMDb and Wikipedia had different numbers.
Okay.
IMDb said it only made about $688,000 worldwide.
Oh, dear. That sounds like a first day number.
And Wikipedia said it had a worldwide gross of about $4 million, which I feel like sounds better.
Yes, it does.
Because this was before, you know, the big budget, big profit movies.
Right. Right. 1971.
Yeah.
Movies were cheaper.
Yeah.
Families were still going to drive-in theaters.
Yeah.
So $4 million sounds right.
But a $3 million budget in 1971, that's pretty big.
Right. That is a lot of money. To make only $4 million, to make only $1 million.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy, huh?
The basic plot is a poor but hopeful boy seeks one of the five coveted golden tickets that will send him on a tour of Willy Wonka's mysterious chocolate factory.
Yay.
The cast was Gene Wilder.
Yes.
Jack Albertson.
Mm-hmm.
Peter Ostrom. Roy Kinnear, Julie Dawn Cole, Leonard Stone, Denise Nickerson, Nora Dodo Denny, Paris Themen, Ursula Wright, Michael Ballner, and Gunter Meisner. Those are the main faces you'd see the most of.
Yes. Yes. The kids and the parents and
yeah.
Yes. What?
I had to clear my throat.
you were looking at me. I thought, what did I miss?
Well, what do you have in terms of Mel Stewart and whatnot?
Well, again, this is another director without a whole lot of information about him.
Oh.
I have about a half a page.
Oh,
So I went with, some other stuff. But what I know about Mel Stewart is he's a producer and a director.
Okay.
He had three children, two of which were in our movie, one credited, and his daughter was not credited. Her name was Madeline, and she was one of the students in Charlie's room.
Oh, okay.
And since then, she has become an interior and furniture designer.
Fun.
And the son, Peter, was credited. But it didn't say what part he played, but he was credited.
Okay.
Mel directed movies and four movies and TV, including a 1964 Oscar nomination for a Kennedy documentary that was called 4 Days in November. And I believe I recall that, but I'm not real sure. And a 1973 concert called Watt Stacks. It was in Watts. He did movies of the week and the TV series, one of which was Ripley's Believe It or Not. And I know you've seen that.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of documentaries and other made-for-TV productions. That's really the base of the information I got about him.
Yeah.
And again, I looked at different places, and that's it. You know, I don't get it. Why? No, but whatever. Our movie was filmed mostly in Munich from August to November of 1970. And it was made from a book by Roald Dahl. And he was credited with the screenplay. But he didn't really write it. You know, we've talked about how screenplays are to be written. And Dahl just put on things like, you know, see this part of the book. And that's not how you do a screenplay. So they brought in David Seltzer, and he goes uncredited, and he rewrote the entire film and made changes that Dahl did not want. So in the end, Dahl walked away from the movie, not wanting to be associated with it. But, you know, he had a very specific idea, and his book was very specific, so he wanted it just like the book. And that's not how movies work, you know, but, you know, he tried. It was released in 1971, and it got generally positive reviews, but it made no money. And, you know, we all know that Sammy Davis Jr. had a huge hit with The Candyman. So that, and, you know, later on I'll talk more about stuff like that. Sammy Davis wanted to be the candy store guy. He wanted to work in the candy store along with a bunch of other people. So, you know, I think that's interesting that they didn't take any of the other more famous. But we'll go on. I'll talk about that when I get there.
Okay.
And let's see. Oh, you know, I didn't mention that Mel Stewart was also a writer. He wrote a very complete book called Pure Imagination, The Making of Willy Wonka. And he wrote a very long book about how the movie was made. And it had pictures and trivia and interviews and all kinds of stuff, you know.
Fun.
Yeah, something like we would think a director's cut would be today.
Oh.
You know, it's not, you know, what I have read. I to the library and got that book. But just what I read and pictures that I saw from the book, it sounds like one of those, like that was a director's cut type thing for us.
Okay.
Let's see, the development of the movie. It started, how it came about that Stewart wanted to make this movie is his daughter, Melanie, the girl that we talked about.
Okay.
She was 10 years old at the time, and she had read Roald Dahl's book. And she asked her dad if he would make that movie because she loved that book so much. And that's how she got to be a student in Charlie's class. And one of the producers, David L. Wolpler, was just very by chance working with the Quaker Oat Company on a marketing campaign. And they were trying to, at the time, they had just bought out a factory that made candy bars. And they were working on a candy bar, and they were trying to develop a vehicle to introduce this new candy. So Wappler convinced the company to buy the rights to the book and finance the movie. What a great idea.
That's crazy. Yeah. Whoever is running social media for Quaker Oats right now is so fucking funny. There was a girl that was going on a work trip, and she had this godforsaken dress on, and she put a little skirt under it because she felt that the dress itself was a little short. She went viral because she's trying this on. It's late at night. You can tell she's tired, and she's just ready to just pack her bags and just get everything over with. And she's like, how does this outfit look? And she's showing the internet this stupid outfit. Comments is Quaker Oats, and it says, the fit is fire, if you ask me.
If you're feeling exhausted, puffy, anxious, foggy, gaining weight, or just not like yourself, you're not imagining it. Women in their 30s, 40s, and 50s are experiencing massive hormonal shifts, and no one is explaining what's actually happening. I'm Katie Whalen, co-founder of Joy. I built Joy because I lived this. The fatigue, the mood swings, the weight changes, the confusion. Your symptoms are biological, not personal. And AI-generated lab reports won't fix them. Every Joy lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who specializes in women's hormones and connects every biomarker to how you feel. Energy, metabolism, mood, sleep, skin, weight, everything. Then, we personalize real solutions. Hormone therapy, peptide therapy, supplements, and lifestyle protocols. Get started at joyandblogs.com today. This month, new customers get 50% off labs, and you can add our estrogen face cream for just $1 with clinician approval. Use promo code podcast at joyandblokes.com.
Hey, could hear, seen that. You know that girl. It was a whole, yes.
It's such a dumb dress.
Yes, that's, I've seen that. Oh, I don't always look at all of the comments, but oh my God.
When Quaker Oats chimed in, I was like, that girl should just burn the dress. Just that's your sign.
Right. Well, it kind of does look like oatmeal, doesn't it? Yeah. Oh my God, that is funny.
So these companies that have, you know, wise ass social media, like, I am here for you.
Yes, absolutely.
Wendy's social media is savage. Like, I don't know who's running this, but they need to be paid $1 billion.
I agree. The social media today is unbelievable.
The Quaker Oats.
Quaker Oats. Go figure. And that it would be something that you would think about while we're watching this movie.
Who knew that Quaker Oats was involved?
Right. Right.
That's funny.
Because that's a big operation.
Yeah, it is.
And, you know, whatever. Okay, back to the writing of this movie. Roald Dahl did the screenplay, like I said. But it was really just an outline. Because it directed you to look at the book. And that's not, you know, we've talked many, many times about how specific it is to write a screenplay. And he just didn't get it. And I think his nose was a little bit out of joint when they brought that other guy in to rewrite it.
Oh.
And how David Seltzer got involved is Our guy, Mel Stewart, said he would produce his next film for him. So that's how he got him to come on to the project and do his thing.
Oh.
Because, you know, it really, you know, it talked about credibility and stuff and how important that is. And yeah, we know that. We've read about that. We've learned that. So Dahl was just not happy with it, and he just went about his stuff and said, I don't want to be involved anymore, and kind of walked away. So, you know. I think I've lost my mind again. Let me read what I'm doing.
We just read about Roald Dahl walking away.
Yeah, and then I turn the page and it's a whole different topic. Okay, so we will go on from there.
Okay.
The little short humorous scenes that were thrown in with the golden ticket hysteria type stuff.
Okay.
Was the idea of Robert Kaufman, who is an American screenwriter. And they thought that would enhance the movie by putting those little, you know, the factory full of people ripping open candy bars, you know, and those little hysterical things. And when Charlie got his ticket and the whole crowd was, and his ticket was just a waving around, he could have taken that ticket.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, quit waving it in the air.
So, yeah. And also another thing that David Seltzer did was change some of the characters, making them more important. Like, for instance, Slugworth. In the book, he was just kind of a background character. You know, a spy, a company spy. And Charlie and his grandparents and, you know, things like that, they changed the story more to fit the movie, you know, to make the movie more interesting. Like, for instance, the father. There was a father in the book, but there was no father in the, you know, in the movie. That kind of would have defeated the storyline. You know, here's this poor woman, and we're all assuming she's a widowed woman with a child, and these four elderly people that she has to take care of, you know. So some of that was made for the movie. And you know, you talked about the squirrels. Instead of having squirrels in the movie, which the squirrels were in the book,
okay,
and they're also in the other movie.
They're in the other movie. That's right. What I was thinking of when I was right. Thinking the squirrels.
It was changed to the goose that laid the golden egg.
Okay.
You know, because how do you get a squirrel in the factory? You know what I mean? It would be weird. And they could just put those geese up there.
Well, yeah, you know, I think it would be easier to build and operate a large goose than it would to be a squirrel, you know?
Correct.
A small rodent.
Right. It moved the movie better than a squirrel would.
Yeah.
Like in the book. In the book, you can, all those words that you could use to describe a squirrel are, you know, unnumbered, but it's not the same on film.
Right.
So they went with the geese, and I think that worked out real well.
Yeah.
And also the ending was done on the fly because, you know, after the movie had started, David Seltzer went on vacation.
Oh.
Because he was exhausted from the whole thing. And at the very end, when they were trying to wrap the whole movie up, they couldn't do it with what had been written. And they were calling him to help him to help them finish the movie in a better way than he had written originally. And it was one of those. He went to this cabin that was out in the woods away, and for some reason he was on a walk and he heard a phone ringing. And he looked up, and there on the telephone pole was a phone. And he answered it. Kind of Green Acres type thing. This phone was just on this phone pole, and he answered it for some reason, and it was for him.
My God. That's terrifying.
Just the craziest thing you've ever heard. I've seen that Green Acres with her up on the... Well, she climbed up to the top of the telephone pole to talk on the phone. But, you know, apparently it was just there on the phone. And, yeah, so that's how they tracked this man down to this one telephone that was on a pole, and he just happened to be walking by it.
Oh, my God.
So that's how they got him, so they could, you know, do a little powwow to get the movie finished.
What do you feel surveilled?
Yes! Well...
Like, somebody is watching my every move. They know that I'm going to be at this tree trunk at this moment.
If he had not decided to take a walk just then, it would all be different.
Wild.
But yeah, that's how it was. And you know, whatever.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But the first thing I thought of was Green Acres. Green Acres style. So yeah. The songwriting was left to Leslie Riclusid?
Sure.
B-R-I-C-U-S-S-E-I. I should have looked that up, I guess. And Anthony Newley. And Anthony Newley was one of the guys that wanted to be
the candy
store owner.
Oh.
He is a singer. And, you know, I remember him from the 60s and 70s. And he has a nice voice. But he was one of the guys that wanted to be the singer. Leslie did lots and lots of movie stuff, theater stuff, theme music.
Oh.
She did the music for the movie Goodbye, Mr. Chips and Scrooge. A whole lot more. She did some of the theme songs. She did lots of theme songs. Goldfinger,
cool.
You Only Live Twice.
James Bond.
Yeah, and a whole bunch more. And
I think both of those songs were done by Shirley Bassey, were sung by Shirley Bassey.
Yes, I think that they were.
No, yes. No. Maybe You Only Live Twice was Nancy Sinatra. Anyways.
You know, I'm going to have to go home and listen to those.
Goldfinger was definitely Shirley Bassey.
Yes. And Anthony Newley had a dozen hit singles in the UK. He was an actor, director, comedian, singer, composer. He had done songs for Nina Simone, Barbara Streisand, Michael Bublé. My God, why did I have trouble with that? And Mariah Carey, I mean, to name a few. And from 63 to 70, he was married to Joan Collins.
My God.
He had several other wives, but for that time, he was married to Joan Collins.
Nancy Sinatra did do You Only Live Twice.
Okay. All right.
And what second one did Shirley Bassey do?
If you're feeling exhausted, puffy, anxious, foggy, gaining weight, or just not like yourself, you're not imagining it. Women in their 30s, 40s, and 50s are experiencing massive hormonal shifts, and no one is explaining what's actually happening. I'm Katie Whalen, co-founder of Joy. I built Joy because I lived this. The fatigue, the mood swings, the weight changes, the confusion. Your symptoms are biological, not personal. And AI-generated lab reports won't fix them. Every Joy lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who specializes in women's hormones and connects every biomarker to how you feel. Energy, metabolism, mood, sleep, skin, weight, everything. Then, we personalize real solutions. Hormone therapy, peptide therapy, supplements, and lifestyle protocols. Get started at joyandblogs.com today. This month, new customers get 50% off labs, and you can add our estrogen face cream for just $1 with clinician approval. Use promo code PODCAST at joyandblokes.com.
Well, look that up.
Shirley Bassey Bond song. She did Goldfinger, Diamonds Are Forever, Moonraker.
Oh, I don't think I've ever seen Moonraker, so I don't know that
one. I don't think I've ever heard the song for Moonraker, but I've heard Diamonds Are Forever.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Okay.
A
little Bond trivia for you.
Yeah, there you go. We haven't watched any Bond movies. Have they gone into the...
I don't think so.
I think Bond movies are just Bond movies.
Action movies? Action films? Let's go ahead. Let me go ahead and look. You keep talking and I'll start looking.
They're in a whole class of their own.
Okay. Let's look up You Only Live Twice.
There you go.
Shut up. Fuck you.
Listen, it's just a phone, Lex. It won't answer you back.
Well, it needs to. Nope. You Only Live Twice is not. Let's see about Dr. No.
There was lots and lots of controversy all over this movie.
Oh, really?
People didn't like the title of the movie. No. They didn't like the way the... They had the Oompa Loompas. They didn't like... There was just a lot of controversy. And some of the groups that were pressing for change were from the NAACP, Vietnam War protesters groups. Some of those people didn't like this movie. You know,
Vietnam War?
Yes!
Okay. Why?
People that protested against the Vietnam War didn't like this movie. I don't know.
Well, I mean, is it because we're supposed to take the Oompa Loompas as other peoples? Like, we're not supposed to look at them as human beings. We're supposed to look at them as other.
Yes, I would think that would be.
And at that time, in a lot of places, anybody but white people were other.
Right. Right.
Oh, well, that makes more sense.
You know, so
that would be why the NAACP is involved.
Right. And as we watch this, there's nothing offensive about this movie.
Well, you do have to wonder what they're getting paid. Are you guys just working for room and board? Like, what?
Oh, no, I'm here. Sure. They were paid as actors.
No, I'm talking about the Oompa Loompas themselves.
Yeah, I would think that they would have been paid the same. You know, I mean, the union is not new to the movie industry, you know, so I would think that they would get paid just like other actors.
I'm not talking about the little people actors. I'm talking about the actual Oompa Loompas in Willy Wonka's factory. The actual guys making the candy in the movie. I think you're taking it too literal. You're making a face.
Actors.
No, they weren't. But Oompa Loompas, I think we're supposed to wonder about what he says. He acquired them from a secret island.
Right.
He secretly acquired them from a secret island.
Right.
What are they, you know, do they get to go? Do they get days off?
Oh, I understand what you're saying now.
Are they working for room and board? What is going on? And what the hell is going on outside?
What is that?
I don't know.
Did the tuba group just drive by?
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm talking about. Like, you know, was there a labor union for the Oompa Loompas?
I think you're taking this too literally.
Was somebody in the background, you know, cracking a whip on these Oompa Loompas to make more candy?
People were just acting.
No, not them. I'm sure the little people were well taken care of. Because I read that they just caroused. They just drank and caroused.
Little people making candy.
Well, then explain the Oompa Loompas. What the hell were they?
They were actors.
Wait, like theme park actors?
Yes.
I don't think so.
They were people from all over Europe. They were short stature people from all over Europe that came together to be the Oompa Loompas.
We are not talking about the same thing. You are talking about the actors. I am talking about the people they are portraying.
I don't think they're really portraying real people. I think this was all in Roald Dahl's head.
But I've got questions.
And apparently I cannot answer them.
Like, how are they getting paid? Are they getting paid in chocolate bars?
Well, no, I wouldn't mind that at all.
My waist would.
Baby, I don't know. I'm confused. You know,
like, who's taking, you know, do they go home every night? Did they punch a clock?
I'm going to say yes. Because I have no idea.
You know, I've got questions.
Okay.
Was this slave labor involved? Is this the transatlantic slave
that only dealt with small statured people
from a weird island that get eaten by wing doodles?
Oh my god. Okay.
I need to know.
Well, I think because this was a legitimate movie, everyone was treated fairly.
Oh, yeah, I read that the actors had a blast. You know, partying every day. Hell yeah.
Absolutely. I would. Somebody brought me across the country to...
Taking a limo to a bar to act a fool to get a limo ride back home. Shit.
Okay with that.
Hell yeah.
That would not be a problem with me.
Oh.
So you're with a whole group of dissidents that wanted to know the real reason why.
I've got questions.
Okay.
And I don't think Wonka wants to answer those questions.
I'm pretty sure not. Because there was really no Wonka. It's really nobody. It's pretend. I hate to break this to you, my love.
That's fine, but I need to know how the sausage is made. In this case, how the chocolate bar is made.
That's an ugly story. Yeah, ugly. Yeah, okay. That really is a whole nother session.
Were the wing doodles really that big of a threat?
I'm sure they were if Gene Wilder said they were.
Okay.
Because I absolutely believe Gene Wilder.
Okay. He does have an honest face.
He does.
It's the kind eyes.
Yes, and we'll get to those eyes in a minute.
Okay.
What that hair?
Oh, my God.
That hair. What was with that hair?
He had fabulous hair. I don't care what anybody says.
It was everywhere. It was everywhere. Okay. Okay, here we go. Here's some Gene Wilder stuff.
Okay.
He was very specific on the costume that he wanted. He wanted those pants to be just so, and the color of the coat and hat also had to be exactly what he wanted. And I think he looked fantastic.
Oh, the velvet on the hat, the velvet of that waistcoat.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And the hat matched the shoes perfectly.
Absolutely. Oh,
men should look that good all the time.
All the time. Yeah. So he was very specific, because that's not how he went into the movie. It wasn't that dramatic. His outfit was not that dramatic. And he wanted it to be the way he wanted it to look. He wanted everybody to know he was Willy Wonka.
Yeah.
And that's how the clothes came about. So, yay for him.
Yeah. And he was the king of the Oompa Loompas. That's why his coat was purple.
Yep.
Because purple is the color of royalty.
Absolutely.
King of the Oompa Loompas.
Yep.
What kind of contract were they working under?
It was standard issue
SAG,
yes.
Was it scale? They work for scale?
Yes. I said that already. Okay, there was a wide range of dudes that were thought to be perfect for Willy Wonka. All six of the guys from Monty Python. They thought any one of those guys would be perfect.
Oh. Yeah.
There was another guy called Spike Milligan. Huh. He was an English comedian, and he was very much associated with the Python guys.
Okay.
So that's why he was considered. Peter Sellers.
Oh, uh-huh.
Joel Grey.
Oh, wow. With Joel Grey.
I can see that too.
Would that have been?
And even Fred Astaire wanted to do it. But at the time, he was 72 years old and not quite. I think Fred Astaire would have done a great job also, but it would have been a whole different movie.
Yeah.
Peter Sellers, I think, would have done a great job. I think it would have been a whole different movie.
Yeah.
Same with Joel Grey. It would not have been this movie.
No.
Because so much of the Willy Wonka we see in this was pure Gene Wilder.
If you're feeling exhausted, puffy, anxious, foggy, gaining weight, or just not like yourself, you're not imagining it. Women in their 30s, 40s, and 50s are experiencing massive hormonal shifts, and no one is explaining what's actually happening. I'm Katie Whalen, co-founder of Joy. I built Joy because I lived this. The fatigue, the mood swings, the weight changes, the confusion. Your symptoms are biological, not personal. And AI-generated lab reports won't fix them. Every Joy lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who specializes in women's hormones and connects every biomarker to how you feel. Energy, metabolism, mood, sleep, skin, weight, everything. Then, we personalize real solutions. Hormone therapy, peptide therapy, supplements, and lifestyle protocols. Get started at joyandblokes.com today. This month, new customers get 50% off labs, and you can add our estrogen face cream for just $1 with clinician approval. Use promo code podcast at joyandblokes.com.
Huh.
So when they started out the auditions, and they went through the whole list of people, and on the last day, in walks Gene Wilder, and everybody sat back and said, "This is it. He's the one." They said, everything about Wilder was right. Before he accepted the part, though, he set up that first appearance that I said for you to watch, pay attention to.
Uh-huh.
He set that up so that he would assure that no one in the movie would know whether he was telling the truth or lying.
Oh, yeah, of course.
He did that so that everyone was left on edge.
That poor walking stick.
But yeah, they knew instantly that he was going to be perfect for the part.
Gene Wilder is just fantastic in everything that he does.
Yeah, he's a whole different animal.
Like, I don't think I've ever seen a bad Gene Wilder movie.
And everything you see is so different.
Yeah.
You know, he's just so different that he's so versatile, and he has that face that you can't not look at.
Yeah.
And that hair, that crazy hair.
And he had that hair until he died.
I know.
He looked great.
I know.
As an old, old man.
Yep. And also, like I said, a lot of famous people wanted to play Bill, the candy store owner. And it was Sammy Davis Jr. who made that song a huge hit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's crazy that so many people wanted to be that one little part. But I think everybody knew that this would be that movie, you know, and they wanted to be a part of it. I can see that.
Sure.
Principal photography, as I said, started in August of 70 and ended in November of 70.
Okay.
There were locations all over America. Or all of the locations were out of America because of the costs.
Oh, yeah.
Everything was just too expensive that time. The fancy rooms and the chocolate factory were all at, you know, the stuff that really was making of the movie was all at the Bavarian Studio in Munich, Germany. And this is the same studio that Alfred Hitchcock did his first movie at. Orson Welles did a movie, several movies there. And The Sound of Music and Cabaret were both done there.
Oh, wow. Speaking of Joel Grey.
Yeah. So this Bavarian studio was very important to the making of movies, apparently.
God, Cabaret is a movie that'll just hurt your heart.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, such a good movie.
The factory was the gasworks of Steadwork. Charlie's home was a specific built set at the studio.
Okay.
The school was in Munich. The outside of the school was in Munich. And also the candy shop.
Okay.
So, all very interesting stuff.
Yeah.
I found everything I read really interesting.
Well, how exciting.
Yep.
Most of the trivia was in fucking paragraph form, which you know that I hate.
Yes.
So I only wrote down like a page and some worth of little trivia that wasn't seven paragraphs long. So here's what I wrote down, and then I'll jump back to the phone because I can't be bothered to write paragraphs.
Okay.
Denise Nickerson didn't want to do the nose picking bit.
Ew, yeah, that's awful.
She's like, oh, you know, that's a bad habit. And Willy Wonka's looking at her picking her nose. He's like, there are worse ones. But she didn't want to do it because she had a crush on Peter Ostrom and she didn't want to embarrass herself by having her finger up her nose.
Oh.
Oh, no. I told you that the actor who played Grandpa George, Ernest Ziegler, was nearly blind from poison gas in World War I. So he was instructed to look for a red light to guide him where his character was meant to be looking in a specific direction. And you can actually kind of see the red light flashing in the reflection of his glass.
I did.
Giant Coke bottle glasses.
When you told me that, I thought, well, there's like a red shadow in his one lens. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Would have never noticed it if you hadn't have mentioned it. But yeah, you can see it.
Oh, only one of the Oompa Loompas was female?
Yes, I did. I had read that.
We talked about it being shot in Germany, but producers had to go outside Germany to recruit enough little people to play the Oompa Loompas.
Yes.
And many of the Oompa Loompas didn't speak English or know enough English to sing along with the songs. So you can tell when they're doing their little song breaks that like only a few of them have any idea what they're saying. If they're even mouthing the right words at all.
Yep. Yes.
And the song that Wonka sings on the boat ride, There's No Earthly Way of Knowing, are the only song lyrics taken directly from Roald Dahl's book. All the other songs were written for the film.
Yep.
Which I thought was really cool. And the last bit of trivia that I wrote down, and this is just a sweet thing that I think that everybody that like is in a movie like this should carry out. When Gene Wilder passed away in 2016, Peter Ostrom, who played Charlie, changed his social media profile to say, former child actor, a veterinarian, and inherited a chocolate factory on August 29th, 2016. The day that Gene Wilder passed. And that's just so, so sweet.
Yeah.
What, you know, to be remembered like that.
What a compliment. Yes.
You know, we should all be remembered like that.
Oh my gosh, yes. And I have a little bit of information too. The book that that Roald Dahl wrote was because when he was a young kid in school, there was a Cadbury factory near his home in his town.
Oh, no.
And they brought handy to the school all the time for the kids to try and then critique.
Oh my God.
So that movie came, this movie came out of something that happened to him when he was in grade school.
Could you even imagine?
I can't. Hello. I'm volunteering. Oh.
Yes, I'll be your guinea pig.
Yeah, absolutely. Force me, please.
We already talked about that. Oh, we didn't. We talked about this during the movie, but not now. The chocolate river was made from 150,000 gallons of water, real chocolate, and cream.
Yes.
Filmmakers had to change the formula for the chocolate river because originally the concoction they were using turned blood red because of the cream. The mixture began to spoil, and by the end of filming, it smelled terrible.
Oh.
Michael Ballner, who played Augustus Gloop, later described it as dirty, stinky water.
Yeah. Yeah. Yuck.
Gene Wilder's acting during the boat ride sequence was so convincing that it frightened some of the other actors and actresses, including Denise Nickerson, who played Violet. They thought that Wilder was going mad from being in the tunnel. Which they were in that tunnel for a really long time.
Right. And because Gene Wilder had said at the directors and other people that a lot of this stuff needs to stay secret until it happens. So we get real
reactions.
Yeah.
In the DVD commentary, Peter Ostrom mentions that toward the end of the shoot, with him being the only kid left, he and Gene Wilder often ate lunch together. And fittingly, they finished those lunches by sharing a chocolate bar for dessert as they walked back to set.
Nice.
That's a sweet little tidbit.
Yes.
The Wonkatania, the boat, was on a track in the Chocolate River, but the actor playing the Oompa Loompa at the helm thought he was steering it. For believability, Mel Stewart, the director, didn't tell him the truth.
Yep. Oh, nice.
Julie Dawn Cole, who played Veruca Salt, was among the actors fooled by the scene where Willy Wonka limps out of the factory to greet the ticket winners. She mentions in the DVD commentary that she thought that Gene Wilder had injured his leg for real and that filming would have to be temporarily halted. Her reaction, along with the rest of the audience, is genuine.
Yep.
If you're feeling exhausted, puffy, anxious, foggy, gaining weight, or just not like yourself, you're not imagining it. Women in their 30s, 40s, and 50s are experiencing massive hormonal shifts, and no one is explaining what's actually happening. I'm Katie Whalen, co-founder of Joy. I built Joy because I lived this. The fatigue, the mood swings, the weight changes, the confusion. Your symptoms are biological, not personal. And AI-generated lab reports won't fix them. Every Joy lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who specializes in women's hormones and connects every biomarker to how you feel. Energy, metabolism, mood, sleep, skin, weight, everything. Then, we personalize real solutions. Hormone therapy, peptide therapy, supplements, and lifestyle protocols. Get started at joyandblokes.com today. This month, new customers get 50% off labs, and you can add our estrogen face cream for just $1 with clinician approval. Use promo code PODCAST at joyandblokes.com.
Book Charlie and the Chocolate Factory is very often among the top-rated books in the children's book section.
When asked on his thoughts on Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, the movie Tim Burton made in 2005, Gene Wilder stated that he enjoyed Johnny Depp's performance, which he played Johnny Depp in a Tim Burton movie. So, you know, whatever, take that with however you want to take it.
Right.
But disliked the film as a whole and said he was not a fan of Tim Burton as a director and said he was generally insulted when his films were remade, despite the Tim Burton film being an adaptation of a book and not a remake.
Interesting. Oh, wow. That's certainly telling, isn't it?
Listen, you know, some people's work isn't for everybody.
Right.
And I completely understand that. I am so
fucking sick of Johnny Depp and Tim Burton collaborations. I'm so sick of them.
Okay. Yeah, it's time to move on.
Every goddamn movie, he gets weirder and weirder, and it's just like, bro, you're weird enough. Like, you need to calm down. Play a normal guy for once.
Right. He's got all that permanent makeup on. He can't.
Listen. They got makeup that can cover tattoos. They can cover his fucking eyeliner.
Okay. In 2012, Charlie and the Golden Ticket were commemorated on a stamp for the Royal Mail.
Oh.
Well, that was wonderful. In 2014, the movie was inducted into the National Film Registry.
Cool.
Yeah.
During the Wonka-mobile scene, the foam used to spurt out was compiled from basic fire extinguishers.
Oh.
But what was unknown to the cast and crew was that the foam itself was a potent skin irritant. So after shooting the scene, the actors and actresses were left in considerable discomfort when their skin puffed up and required several days to receive medical treatment and recovery.
Oh my gosh! Why did they think that would be okay?
Well, we need foam that looks good, and, you know, whipping cream can only do so much, and, you know, beer foam can only be done, you know, a certain way, and... You know, what better foam? What foam looks better than a fire extinguisher foam?
You are correct in that. My goodness. 1970 was a different time, oh, OSHA.
Yeah. The opening credit sequence was filmed at a Toblerone chocolate factory in Switzerland.
Yeah. Nice.
Roald Dahl was reportedly so angry with the treatment of his book that he refused permission for the book sequel, Charlie and the Great Glass Elevator, to be filmed.
Yes, I read that too. But yeah, he was mad that they changed the whole story.
Yeah.
And that's why he walked away. So yeah, I understand. I get it.
When he's leading the people into the inventing room, and he's speaking German, they go on to say that he did a very good pronunciation of all the German words,
mm-hmm.
and the speech translates to, "Ladies and gentlemen, please give me your attention. You now come into the most interesting room of my factory, the most secret room at the same time. Ladies and gentlemen, the inventing room."
Cool.
Michael Goodlife's line, "Not till you're 12, son," took over 40 takes to film when Mike TV said he can't get a gun till he's 12.
Right.
Yeah.
When he wanted a gun, he's shooting at the TV with the little cap pistol. Oh my goodness. Yeah, that was the other thing that the Baruch Assault thing took 32 takes. What the heck?
I don't know.
What went wrong?
I don't know. There's a bunch more, but...
Nothing that's striking you as...
No.
This needs to be said. This is just a nice movie. This has been a good standby movie that you can turn on and it's okay.
Listen, for a kid's movie from the 70s, this is great.
Yeah.
It's still great.
It is. Because who doesn't want to ride in a boat down a chocolate river? I'm raising my hand. Yeah,
I also want to do that.
You know, and who doesn't want to shoot up into the air and go across and see everything? How many people get in planes every day and look down? You know,
yeah.
It's cool.
I want to meet an Oompa Loompa.
Oh, no, not, no, don't start.
I want to meet a Wang Doodle.
Well, they're on that island. He didn't bring any of them. He saved the Oompa Loompas from the Wangoodle.
Yeah, but I want to meet one anyways.
Well, you'll have to go to the island.
Listen, there's this thing on TikTok where this little tiny woman is like, have you ever seen a horror movie and think, you know, you could take the bad guy? She thinks she could take one of, like, the coldest, like, movie bad guys ever. And I'm just like, what? You're a Lunchable to that killer. Like, what are you talking about? I think I could take a Wangoodle.
Oh, my. Okay. I believe you, honey.
Okay.
I absolutely believe you.
Because I'm bigger than an Oompa Loompa.
Yes.
I could do it.
You know, how many times has Blythe taken your eye out?
Well, that's because I wasn't trying to hurt her, but she was trying to murder me.
Well, yes.
Because I knew that if I hurt her, I would get murdered.
So do you think you could do that to a Wangoodle?
Yes, because, oh, I don't give a shit about a Wangoodle.
Oh, okay.
I do give a shit about getting yelled at.
All right. You don't think I'd yell at you for beating up a Wangoodle?
No, because if it's trying to eat people.
Okay.
I'd be doing the world a favor.
Yes, you would. How thoughtful of you.
I'm a humanitarian.
I understand that. Boy. All right. Well, let's talk about our cabbage water. It was delicious.
Yeah, I tried. I you know, I've never made like a boiled dinner. So I made a boiled dinner. It's got cabbage and carrots and corn and sausage and.
Well, for your first effort, you did a good job.
Yeah, I think it was good.
It tasted like every boiled dinner I've ever had. Cabbage, carrots, potato. Did you put any
potatoes,
Old Bay in there?
I did not.
Oh.
I barely seasoned it at all.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, because it tasted like it was perfectly seasoned.
Yeah. I used that fancy broth. I got chicken flavored bone broth.
Bone broth.
So all I put in it was salt and pepper.
Okay.
And I was like, well, I'll taste it when it's done and see if I need anything. But the way it smelled, I was just like, I'm not putting anything else in there.
No, because everything you put in there has all that flavor. Carrots, cabbage, sausage. That sausage you put in there has all that flavor inside it.
Yeah.
That comes out in the water, in the broth. No, it was delicious. You did not need to put anything else in there. At all. I thought it tasted very good.
Yeah, I think it was, I think for never having made something like that before, I definitely, next time I do something like, I will use loose corn, not corn cobs.
Oh, you didn't like trying to peel the corn off the cob?
No, it was really hot.
Oh, yes.
And it was really messy.
You were going to use...
I was going to use loose corn.
And then you changed your mind.
Yeah.
You wanted it to look aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah, I wanted it to look a certain way. And then it's just like, I can't, with the way my teeth are, I can't eat corn with a cob.
Okay.
What are you doing?
Well, when it's cool, before you reheat it again, take the corn off the cob that's left.
Yeah.
While it's not hot. But I didn't eat corn. My tummy was not right this morning, so I tried to stay away from the corn. You know, corn's real hard to digest, so I thought I'd lay back a little, but bang, it was delicious. And you made little crescent rolls. They were delicious.
Oh, yeah.
It was a fine, fine meal. And you can make that again, and, you know, I'm sure you'd enjoy it just as much. But get the Stanley's kielbasa. That would change it. That would change it a lot.
Yeah, and I didn't even use like one of those Polska kielbasa, you know, pre-cooked sausages, I got a turkey rope sausage.
Yeah.
And that's what I used.
And it was fine. It was fine. It would, you know, the only difference if you made it with kielbasa.
If you're feeling exhausted, puffy, anxious, foggy, gaining weight, or just not like yourself, you're not imagining it. Women in their 30s, 40s, and 50s are experiencing massive hormonal shifts, and no one is explaining what's actually happening. I'm Katie Whalen, co-founder of Joy. I built Joy because I lived this. The fatigue, the mood swings, the weight changes, the confusion. Your symptoms are biological, not personal. And AI-generated lab reports won't fix them. Every Joy lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who specializes in women's hormones and connects every biomarker to how you feel. Energy, metabolism, mood, sleep, skin, weight, everything. Then, we personalize real solutions. Hormone therapy, peptide therapy, supplements, and lifestyle protocols. Get started at joyandblokes.com today. This month, new customers get 50% off labs, and you can add our estrogen face cream for just $1 with clinician approval. Use promo code podcast at joyandblokes.com.
It would taste differently.
Yeah.
Because that kielbasa and the sausage that you use is nothing to be compared.
Right.
But I thought it was delicious.
Yeah.
It tasted very good.
I just don't know how I feel about, like, a loose casing like that, you know? Like, would I have to cook the Stanley's before I put it in something like this?
No, because it would be, you know...
Because I don't want...
You know, you've got to cook that cabbage for a half hour, 45 minutes at least.
Yeah.
And that would cook the kielbasa, too.
Yeah, but I don't want loose casing in my...
I understand. So stick like with that. What you use. Those sausages are just fine.
Yeah, I thought so. Oh, it tasted fine.
It was delicious.
I haven't had boiled dinner in a billion years, and I feel like it tasted good.
Yeah.
I threw an onion. I mushed up an onion and threw it in there, and I squeezed some minced garlic in there. You know, you can get a big squeeze bottle of minced garlic now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know what? Do it.
Somebody shouldn't have told me about that. Been using that in everything.
You know, garlic is fine, and I use it often, but it goes to waste so badly. You know what? Where that squeeze tube does not.
No.
And you use it, and it's done, and just like everybody, garlic. Forget that. It's garlic in a bottle. It's fine.
Yeah.
It is fine. So, you do it.
Yeah.
Give it up. Yeah, because now you can get squeezing of ginger and any kind of seasoning.
Lemon. I saw lemon the other day, and I was just like...
Why would you need something different than lemon?
I need this.
How would it be? Was it thick?
Yeah, it was like a paste. So I would think for something where you need more of the zest instead of the juice...
Oh, I'm with you now.
That's what I took it as. I didn't take it up and look at it, but above the fresh herbs at the grocery store in the door with the fresh herbs.
Yep.
There's a line of squeezable herbs.
Well, I don't know what I'm talking about. I have dried lemon juice at my house in a little Ziploc bag.
Why?
So why wouldn't they? Because I have some recipes that want you to put dried lemon juice in it.
Weird. Okay.
Yeah, it's just the acidic stuff, you know. Anyway, but yeah. It's delicious. So why wouldn't they have squeezy lemon? Of course.
Yeah.
I have to look at that. I think I might need some of that.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I might.
If I was doing a shop, I would have bought some. I was specifically shopping for this meal.
Yes. Yes.
And I was just like, I'm not going crazy. I barely bought anything that was on my list anyways. So we're lucky we had a whole meal.
Oh, okay. Well, it was delicious. And I appreciate you cooking it. And it tasted delicious.
You're going to take some home.
Of course I will.
A good amount left.
I think Justin will even like it.
Oh, yeah.
It's just that kind of food. It's just food.
He's like, you're eating cabbage? And I'm like, this is like one of the only times I want to eat cabbage. Like, yeah. Cabbage is not normally one of the things that I eat.
No, corned beef and cabbage and this would be it for you, wouldn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. But I think that this is something like this is more of my speed because I cut the cabbage up into like strips.
Oh, okay.
I didn't put like whole leaves in.
Okay. Yeah, you did cut it up pretty fine. You don't have to. When you make a boiled dinner like that, you really only kind of have to quarter the cabbage.
The recipe I saw said to cut it up, and so I followed the recipe.
And it's fine.
Yeah.
And you can make that again the same way, and it'll be fine.
Yeah.
You did a good job.
I think so.
I know so.
I think it was good.
It was. It was perfect for our movie.
Yeah.
Talk about peasant food. That's it.
Yeah. But you know, goddamn, price of groceries. This isn't a poverty meal. This is a rich people meal. You know how much money I spent?
Yes. Well, cabbage is kind of not in season anymore. It's kind of the end of it. So yeah. that was more expensive. And sausage. That's crazy anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean...
That little bag of potatoes was like $5.
Yes.
And it was just a little bag of potatoes.
Right? Probably less than a pound.
Probably.
I hear you, baby. I don't see where grocery prices are coming down at all.
Or not.
At all.
I thought this was a day one thing. We're 10 months in.
Yeah. Yeah. When one little old lady goes to the grocery store and spends $100, that's too much. And that's not even for a month worth of food.
Oh.
That's really only for 2 weeks. That's too much. But, you know, that's a whole nother conversation, and we don't need to do that today.
Yeah.
Want to do our deaths?
Yeah.
We have a few. Let's see. Brett James, at 57, he was a songwriter. He died in that plane crash the other day.
Oh dear.
He wrote the song Jesus Take the Wheel.
Well, okay.
Rick Davies at 81. He was with Supertramp.
Okay.
He died from blood cancer and multiple melanoma.
Oh, my God.
God, he didn't stand a chance. Holy cow. Neil Summers at 81. He died. It said natural causes. He was 81, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
We know him from lots of stuff. Dick Tracy, RoboCop, Shawshank Redemption. He was a stuntman and an actor.
Okay.
Holly Holiday at 88, actress, best known for as Flo on Alice.
Yeah.
Jeffrey. Now, this is one when I told Lex this guy, she goes, who's that?
Oh, boy. Okay, here we
go. This is some of me and my crazy TV people. Jeffrey Muldrum at 66. He was an anthropologist. He died of brain cancer, and I know him from Bigfoot research shows that I watch.
Okay.
He was an anthropologist. Of course he would study Bigfoot.
Sure.
Bobby Hart at 86. He was a songwriter. He did lots of music that everybody knows. Last Train to Clarksville for the Monkees. He did a lot of Monkees stuff. Songwriter. We know who he is. Lots of songs.
Yeah.
And this was a big one. This guy I thought would never die, Robert Redford.
Oh my God.
He was there. And he was only 89.
But 89, he held in there.
Yep. Actor, director, businessman. He started the Sundance Film Festivals.
Yeah.
We often talk about that.
That's where he died. He died at his home in Utah.
In Sundance, yes. Yes. He started in Broadway in 1959.
my God.
And then he started in films in 1963. And in around that time, not long after that, he did started in TV. So he's done everything. Everything.
Yeah. And he's one of those men that got better looking as he got older.
Yes. Yes.
Like, he didn't look old until he looked old.
Right. Right. And it's really only been the last few years that he's, yeah. You look at him, think, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Paula Shaw at 84, actress and in TV and movies. It just said after a long illness. She was in X-File, Three's Company, lots of stuff.
Horror fans will remember her as playing Pamela Voorhees in Flashback in Friday the 13th Part 2, where Jason is the bad guy.
Okay.
In the sack mask. You've seen it.
Yes. I read, as soon as you said that name, I thought, you know that name.
Yeah.
I
don't know why they didn't get Betsy Palmer to do it. I don't know if she had passed in that time or what. But yeah, they didn't get Betsy Palmer back, and that's who they did to play Mrs. Mm-hmm. Voorhees.
Yeah, so this time there was a lot of quite old people.
Yeah.
Although 66 and 57 are not old at all.
That's not old enough.
But you know, you can't, if it's the pilot's time, you're done for too, so.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, especially a small plane crash, you know, just a few people. So, yeah, that's what we got for dead people this time. There's others, but we chose not to discuss it.
Yeah. Yeah. If you want to know where I live, just ask me.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll tell you. I'll invite you over. Don't come to my front door because I never answer it.
No.
Or no, come to my front door. Come on to my front door.
Talk to Big Daddy, and Big Daddy doesn't want company. He does not want company. He will make it weird.
Okay.
He'll just go away. Just don't come
here. Yeah. So yeah, that's but I really, really enjoy this movie, and I'm glad we did this as one of our favorites. You know, it's always fun to look at the past and things that we, and this, it was, you know, like the last one we watched, when we watched Dude, Where's My Car, the one I chose. I don't remember that part. I don't remember that part. I remembered everything in this movie except that one little part. And, you know, it's just a sweet movie.
Because this is a classic. I think Dude, Where's My Car is just one of those movies that you've seen a few times. And
it sticks in my head.
But this is a classic.
Yeah.
This is something that you'd take to your grave because it's just, it's a sweet movie.
Yep, absolutely.
And you don't know if it's going to have a sad ending because it starts out as having a sad ending.
Right. Absolutely. You just never suspect that he's going to be the one that wins because of his honesty.
Yeah.
Because right there at the very ending, Gramp said, let's give that to Slugsworth. And that little boy, out of the goodness of his heart, said, I can't do this. And gives the candy back. It's. Oh, everybody wants their child to be that child.
Yeah.
Every parent. But it's a wonderful movie. And it's entertaining. And it's really fun to watch. If you're not overthinking it, Alexis.
I just need to know that the workers, the Oompa Loompas working in Willy Wonka's factory were taken care of.
There is no factory.
There might be.
Okay, there is. There is. And they are being taken care of because Willy Wonka's a good man.
Okay. No, I don't know if I necessarily believe that, but okay.
Okay, he had great hair.
He had great hair. Gene Wilder had great hair, yes, till the end.
And he had those eyes. I really like Gene Wilder. I thought he was wonderful. So, yeah. So there.
Yeah. What else is going on?
Oh, nothing.
Cardi B put out her sophomore album, finally.
Yes, and you were not happy what Spotify did to it, to you? I'm sure it was a personal offense to you, Alexis. It was,
because I went back to re-listen to it, and I re-listened to it, and the unedited tracks were there.
What?
But at 4 a.m. Friday morning, you know, 4 hours after release, Spotify only had the unedited, Spotify only had the edited tracks available. And can you listen to a Cardi B song that's edited? I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Just hearing her on the trial in the news, that I, the little snippets that I... Wow. Wow. Language.
She's from New York. And, you know...
Wow.
She apparently is from a neighborhood where you have to be tough.
Okay.
So, you know, if somebody gets in your face, get the fuck out of my face.
Yep.
I understand that.
I get it. I get it, too. I get it.
And as a person with somebody always in her face, I would only be saying that.
Okay. All right. But you enjoyed it?
Oh, the album's bomb. The whole thing.
Good.
So good.
Can't say I've ever heard anything she's done.
Oh.
I'm not a radio listener anymore.
The main single that has already dropped, well, the first single that dropped outside was a response to her hopefully soon to be ex-husband. That man just will not let her go.
Ugh.
And he needs to, because he's just a piece of shit. And it's great. It gets sexual real fast, but it's a great song. It's a bop. And like, how many fun summer songs do we get? Not many.
Nope, not at all. Nice.
And she's got diss tracks on this album, and they are fucking vicious. Oh my god! One woman had the audacity to talk about Cardi B's kids.
Oh,
and Cardi B was just like, oh, you want to talk about my kids? Let's talk about you.
Oh, yeah.
And she went for the jugular.
As she should. You know, these children, you don't talk about the children.
No, just, you know, it's none of your business. And, you know, to even pretend that you have enough clout to go there.
Right.
Is wild to me.
Oh, my goodness.
Especially somebody like Cardi, who might not say anything at first. She'll say something eventually. And you don't want her to say anything.
No.
Because she's mean.
Yeah. That's my understanding.
And I'm here for it. Like, keep saying dumb shit to Cardi B so she can put out fucking bomb songs.
Hey.
I'm here for it.
Oh, my. Okay.
Oh. The songs are great.
Okay. I'm glad to hear that. That makes you know what? Music makes life better.
And I'm not like a huge Cardi B fan, but like the whole album is good.
That's saying something, because even the Beatles didn't put out albums that were all good.
No. And, you know, how many records are there in the world that you can put on track one and listen for 20 plus tracks?
Not that many.
All the way through and be happy.
Yeah, not that many.
This is one of those records.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The songs, great.
That's saying a lot.
Even the songs that weren't as great as the other songs.
Wow. Okay.
So go out and listen to Cardi's record. It's great.
Okay.
Even if you're not a rap fan, become a rap fan and listen to this record. It's great.
Okay. She's pretty enough.
She is really pretty.
You know, it's too bad that she got entangled with some dumbass man.
Well, listen, aren't they all?
Ugh.
First of all,
yes,
but she should have known from the beginning when her star took off and his didn't.
Oh.
That this was going to be a problem.
Yeah.
Because he has always been jealous of her success.
Oh. Love is blind. You always think it's going to be better.
And he has always treated her like he can do better.
Oh, well, then feel free to do better.
And
that's what I say.
Let him treat her like that.
Well, Lex, you know there's a lot more involved in leaving a man than just
I know.
Saying, I'm tired of your shit and go. I'm moving out.
I know. Listen, it should be as easy as that.
I know it should.
It should be. I know it is
because
not.
It's that easy to get into it.
100%.
Yeah, this is two divorced women sitting here talking like this. I mean, yeah, there's way more. God, Lord, what is going on outside
traffic
today?
Traffic is wild today. The church across the street's bumping. The traffic is wiling. I don't know what's going on. There's a deer this morning when I was talking to my outdoor cats.
Yeah.
It's been a day.
It has been.
Oh, listen. We're going to talk about what I see outside when I sit outside with the outdoor cats.
Oh, good heavens, yes.
This morning, I didn't see all of the... I didn't see them until I heard them. There were deer crossing the street right here. In
100 feet from your porch.
On that lady's grass. And I'm like, holy shit. And I didn't hear it until I heard, clickety-clack of hooves on concrete.
When they stepped onto the street.
And I was like, and there were like 5 or 6 deer.
Oh my gosh.
And most of them were small. I think I only saw one adult size. That doesn't mean there weren't more than one adult size.
Right.
I mostly saw young looking deer.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, holy shit. And that was cool. I got a real brief picture of when they stopped to kind of graze around her grass. And that was really cool. But yesterday, I was sitting on the porch with the cats.
Here we go.
And, on one side of my steps is railing, and on the other side is my mailbox. So I'm sitting, in the middle of my front steps, and I can hear something coming up behind the bushes to the railing. And I can see that it's an animal. I couldn't have told you what kind of animal it was. I'm like, this is either another cat or a raccoon. I'll see when it gets up closer. It jumped up onto the step inches from my body. And I look down and I see a raccoon face looking up at me. And I said, get out of here. And when I flailed and yelled a bit, it jumped off the step, but it was looking at me. But it didn't back up, so I had to hiss at it a few times. And so the cats are looking at me like, what the hell is going on? And I'm like, it's okay, I'm trying to protect you guys. And they're like, I don't know if I want to be around you. And I was like, God damn it.
My God. Oh my God. You're just lucky it was not an opossum jumped up there.
Because it could have bit
me. It would have bit you instead of jumped away.
Oh, could you imagine me fighting anything?
Oh, my God.
On my front steps, in my bathrobe.
As cars are driving by.
Yeah, just cars are whizzing past because at 4 in the morning, it's the Wild West on my street.
Yes.
There was a car this morning that I swear was trying to break the sound barrier.
Oh my God.
Because I heard it coming way before I even saw it. And I was just like, Jesus, you need to slow down.
But you think, this is a heavily populated area.
Yeah.
You don't think that you're going to see wild animals.
No.
But less than a mile up where Michigan starts, it's not so heavily populated.
It's getting there, though.
It is, but there's still a little bit more room for the deer and the antelope to play.
Yeah.
And the raccoons. Now, raccoons are all over city places because there's plenty of food.
Yeah.
And you got to open your garbage can.
They live in the sewer.
Yeah, and they know how to open your garbage can, so they can eat out of your garbage can.
They've got thumbs.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah. I've seen them jump in and out of the sewer, yeah. And I'm like, oh, that's terrifying.
Oh, but yes.
I understand it's warm down there.
Right. And everybody's got to live somewhere.
Yeah.
But, oh, my God. Yeah,
inches from my body was a goddamn raccoon.
Not me. First off, I wouldn't be sitting on the porch talking to the outside cats.
Oh, well, since Labor Day weekend, when I heard that huge snarl on my porch, I don't know if it was one of the cats being territorial. I don't know if it was a raccoon coming up trying to flex. I don't know if it was a goddamn werewolf. I don't know what was on my porch. Something happened. So I'm not, you know, when I have time, I'm sitting out there making sure they're okay.
Maybe it was a cougar. Or a wild cat.
Do they have those here?
Oh, I'm sure they do. You know, yeah, sure. Oh my gosh. Oh, that's funny. So you got to protect your little outside cats.
Yes.
I know, because they still want to come into your house.
Oh my God. Creamsicle still tries to, like, get real close to the door. I'm like, baby, you can't come in. And Creepo's been real, real skittish around me. I was hoping to get some more rubs, but...
Oh.
He's been real skittish. Okay. So, I'm hoping to...
Get back in his good graces.
Yeah. Because it was nice giving him some little rubs.
Yeah. That's what you need, more cats. You know, three is not enough.
Listen. Plus the four or five that I'm feeding at work every most mornings.
Right. And the two that live around here somewhere that come on your porch.
Yeah.
Right. You need more.
Ugh. No, Tallulah is moody enough for all of us.
Oh, my. Why is she so pretty, though?
She is. She is a beautiful cat. She's a giant asshole. But she's a beautiful cat.
She's so petite and pretty. And she looks like the perfect little cat.
And when she wants to be cuddly, she's so cuddly.
And then she turns on a dime.
On a dime.
And all hell breaks loose.
Ah!
Yikes!
She's got the boys screaming. I'm screaming. She's screaming. Dad hears it all. Dad's screaming.
It's melee.
Wild.
Yep. Yep. Such things. So what are we doing for our next movie?
Well, we have a little bit of room to play. I have several movies left, and you have...
Just the one.
Nope, you have two movies left.
Yep, I do have two.
So, you know, what do we want to do? Do I want to do, like... A futuristic movie that's got, like, some car racing in it? Or do I want to do a movie that's steampunky with steampunky cars? And then you do Chitty Chitty Bang Bang?
I thought we were going to do steampunky and then follow that up with Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
We can do that. Or, you know, we could do... You know, I can do totally unhinged 80s. And then you can do Wedding Singer.
Oh, my.
So, you know, we've got
options.
We've got options. But what would you rather do?
Baby, I don't, you know, it doesn't matter to me.
Well, I just watched League of Extraordinary Gentlemen recently. And it's still terrible. I love it so much. It's a terrible movie.
But if you've watched it recently, we can push that back a little.
No, the car in it, the vehicles in this movie are so cool. There's a boat shaped like a scimitar.
Oh my goodness. And then we go to the Chitty Chitty Bang Bang car.
Yeah.
Okay, do that. Let's sure. do that.
Okay.
All right, so it's League of Extraordinary Gentlemen next.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have a pen.
Oh, here, you can borrow mine.
Oh, all right.
Oh, it's even clicked out.
Because, you know, I'll forget by the time I, you know, go to do this.
Yeah, by the time you get home.
Yeah. What? What movie? What was that that we were going to watch?
Were you even here today?
Not at all.
No, I love League of Extraordinary Gentlemen because Peta Wilson is in it. And I loved Peta Wilson on La Femme Nikita in the 90s.
Okay.
This movie killed Sean Connery's career. And I believe it's directed by the same guy that did Blade.
Okay.
So we might not have to talk about him too much.
Or when did we do Blade? How long ago was that? Because remember when we first started this, we weren't really talking about really in-depth stuff about the directors and the writers and things.
You know, I don't know. Let me see.
I'll look in my books.
Captain Kronos. Blue Velvet when John or David Lynch died. Best in Show. So I think we did Blade maybe sometime last year.
When did we start doing this more in-depth stuff?
Last year.
Okay. I'll look and see. You know, you never know. Hell, I can't remember yesterday. You know, we can redo this movie and I'll have to look everything up. You know. You know how it is, but.
Hey, yeah.
Hey, that sounds fun. That'll be our 94?
90. This will be, hold on, I'll tell you. If I can get my mouse back, it will be. That will be. Where's my desktop? Can I look at my desktop?
No, you're recording. It won't let you go back.
Yeah, that'll be episode number 94 because this is episode 93.
Unbelievable.
Isn't that wild?
Yep. We're making a little traction on YouTube. We're doing well.
Yeah. Yeah. We've got a.
You know, welcome all you new folks. We're glad you're listening.
Yeah. We hope you made it this far.
Yeah. 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 But I think that's why they listen to us. We're two crazy people that just talk.
Yeah. Just scream into the void.
That is exactly what we are doing because, you know, we are. We are that that people.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we had a good time talking about Willy Wonka.
Yes, I think we did.
Go find this, you know, dig it out of your collection. It's currently showing on Netflix. I didn't see if it was anywhere else, but go find this. It's
a nice watch.
It's just over an hour and a half long. You've got that time.
Yeah. You got kids, they'll like it.
Yeah. Who doesn't like a movie about chocolate?
Nobody I know. So yeah, watch it. It's fun. Yeah. It really is fun.
And then go look at our TikTok where we're ridiculous. I put blue eyeshadow all over my face.
And I had an egg on my head.
We looked ridiculous.
We did. We have a blast. So come on and join us.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, guys. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
All righty. Bye.